Our next speaker, ladies and gentlemen, is Dave Connolly, and he's a senior consultant and founding partner at the Aquaculture Communication Group. He has over 36 years of diverse practical experience in food and fiber production, research, journalism, public policy development, public education, and communication. From 1990 to 2004, Dave served as communication and policy advisor to Canada's first and only Commissioner for Aquaculture Development at Fisheries and Oceans. And that team produced two strategic policy documents for the ministry. He's also one of McGill's own, in that he holds both an MSc and a BSc from McGill University. Please join me in welcoming Dave.
So I'm going to talk to you about aquaculture today. I'm the only guy that's talking about this, so this will be a change, I think, for everybody. And that's who I am. So the first thing I'd like to do is talk about the predominant feature of our world, which is water. Over 70% of the Earth is covered by it. Recently, on September the 23rd, 2009, the FAO published a paper emphasizing that the world will need to produce 70% more food for an additional 2.3 billion people by 2050. When confronting the challenge of feeding these people, one cannot but wonder why we're not using our marine and freshwater resources more efficiently and responsibly. We read and hear about the challenges of farming the land and about how much arable land is lost each year, much of it blowing away or carried away by rains and floods. The greatest challenges faced by agriculture have to do with water. Too little, too much, too soon, or too late. Perhaps it is time we stopped fighting it and just went with the flow. Perhaps, in addition to agriculture, it's time to consider aquaculture's potential for feeding the world's hungry. So what is aquaculture? The FAO definition says, aquaculture is the farming of aquatic organisms, fish, mollusks, crustaceans, aquatic plants, crocodiles, alligators, turtles, and amphibians. Farming implies some form of intervention in the rearing process to enhance production, such as regular stocking, feeding, protection from predators, etc. Farming also implies individual or corporate ownership of the stock being cultivated. So why do we need aquaculture? The world's human population is growing and demand for food is growing with it. Until we can solve the challenge of controlling population growth, most of us would not condone starvation as a tool to that end. As people of conscience, we have to find a way to feed as many people as we can in the most efficient and sustainable way that we can. And I believe that aquaculture is a way to help us achieve this. According to FAO's latest scientific consensus report, which was published earlier this year, in 2006, that's the latest statistics we have, capture fisheries and aquaculture supplied the world with approximately 144 million tons, of which capture fisheries production 92 million tons, or 64%. Aquaculture's production was 52 million tons, 37%, 36%. Of the total production of 144 million, 110 million was for human consumption, and aquaculture accounted for 47% of that. In 2009, this year, we will realize an important milestone. For the first time, half of the seafood consumed by humans will come from aquaculture. When you think about this achievement, you cannot help but be inspired. From a production of less than 1 million tons per year in the early 1950s, aquaculture production In 2006 was reported to be 52 million tons with a value of U.S. $78.8 billion, representing an annual growth rate of nearly 7%, making it the fastest growing animal food production sector and outpacing population growth. This is an incredible testament to what we can do when we have the tools and the desire to use them. An interesting fact is that aquaculture is growing faster in developing nations than in developed nations. World aquaculture is heavily dominated by the Asian Pacific region, which accounts for 89% of production in terms of quantity and 77% in terms of its value. Fisheries and aquaculture directly or indirectly play an essential role in the livelihoods of millions of people around the world. In 2006, an estimated 43.5 million people were directly engaged, part-time or full, in primary production of fish, either in capture or in the wild, capture from the wild or in aquaculture, and a further 4 million were engaged on occasional basis. The last three decades, employment in the primary fisheries and aquaculture sector has grown faster than the world's population and employment in traditional agriculture. Although Canada and the United States have the human resources, educational institutions, R&D facilities, suppliers, science and technology suppliers, and environmental regulations, there is no political will to enable aquaculture development. This is a lost opportunity of tremendous proportions. Norway is a leader in aquaculture research, science and technology, production, products and services, and is exporting its people, knowledge, and expertise around the world. The Norwegian government has embraced aquaculture development, making it an integral part of its marine resource development plan, and is reaping the benefits. There are many countries that could learn from this forward-thinking nation. What the critics of salmon and shrimp aquaculture do not realize is that profitable business enterprises reinvest in R&D with government and university partners, and then commercialize innovative technologies that can be applied in all kinds of aquaculture, both at home and abroad. Technology and practices developed in salmon and shrimp aquaculture are being applied today to farm cod, halibut, catfish, tilapia, cobia, sea bass, sea bream, tuna, and many other aquatic species, too numerous to name. Here's something that is going to floor you. Did you know about 430, which is 97% of the aquatic species cultured as of 2007, were domesticated during the 20th century? Of these, an estimated 106 aquatic species came in the decade leading up to 2007. Only 0.08% of known land plant species and 0.0002% of land animal species have been domesticated, whereas 0.17% of known marine plant species and 0.13% of known marine animal species have been domesticated. Domesticating an aquatic species typically involves about a decade of scientific research. In a speech given by the former Norwegian Minister of Fisheries, Sven Ludvigsen, in Ottawa in February of 2003, was his statement that the challenges faced by the Norwegian marine resources industry, including aquaculture, would need the best minds to solve them, and that these minds would not necessarily be Norwegian, but would require the minds of people from many different parts of the world. I was struck by the idea contained in this statement and by the fact that a minister of fisheries of a small Nordic nation would make it, and how wonderful it would be if other ministers of fisheries and aquaculture could come to a similar conclusion. There is much work to be done if we're going to feed the people of this planet, and I believe that aquaculture must be a part of this enterprise. So let's look at some of the things that are happening in the global aquaculture industry today. Here at home in Canada, researchers at the University of New Brunswick and Fisheries and Oceans Canada are developing what's called integrated multitrophic aquaculture, which is based on the natural energy pathways of the oceans so that the uneaten food and fish metabolic products from salmon farms become the particulate feeds for mussels and the nutrients for kelp. The Bay of Fundy IMTA project is a collaborative industry, academic, and government project and is presently expanding production to a commercial scale. The Pacific Sea Lab Research Initiative, SEA, stands for Sustainable Ecological Aquaculture, is located on the northwest coast of Vancouver Island and is co-culturing sablefish, scallops, oysters, blue mussels, urchins, and kelps with the goal of farming four species in an intensive IMTA design. Acadian Sea Plants in Nova Scotia supplies specialty products and services and ingredients derived from cultivated and select wild seaweed species, getting tongue-tied there, harvested in the Atlantic Canada. It is a leader in marine plant technology and serves markets in over 70 countries. The Atlantic Vet College at the University of Prince Edward Island has an international reputation for its research and teaching activities in aquatic animal health. AquaHealth Limited was a pioneer in fish vaccine development, and so successful it was purchased by Novartis in 2000. Novartis AquaHealth Canada's operation in Charlottetown is now one of the world's three leading commercial labs working on vaccines to prevent virus infections in fish. Vaccination now plays an important role in large-scale commercial fish farming and has been a key reason for the success of salmon farming, greatly reducing the use of antibiotics. In the United States, John Forster, an aquaculture consultant in Washington State, has been working on the concept of marine agronomy, the farming of aquatic plants for food and other value-added applications. Seaweeds are farmed in oceanic plantations, can be used for food, fiber, as well as biofuels, and thereby reducing the use of agricultural food crops for biofuel purposes. Seaweeds do not require fertilizers, cultivatable soil, or freshwater resources, and they absorb CO2 dissolved in the seawater. Ocean Farm Technologies has developed the AquaPod, a submersible geodesic cage that is scalable from 115 cubic meters to 11,000 cubic meters for use in exposed offshore marine sites to farm a wide variety of fish species. In collaboration with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston, OFT has developed a prototype self-propelled cage that can be moved around in the ocean to optimize growing conditions for the fish. Their small micropod version can be used in freshwater lakes, reservoirs, and rivers. Oberon FMR has developed a process that produces single-cell protein from unutilized food processing byproduct streams, and the protein amino acid profile is similar to fish meal, and this can be sustainably produced. Ocean Blue Sea Farms has developed the expertise to cultivate marine whitefish through environmentally safe and sustainable deep ocean aquaculture methods. Ocean Spar delivers high-performance fish pens, operating equipment, and support services to leading offshore aquaculture companies. Neptune Industries has developed a process to farm insects on waste organic materials to produce entoprotein, a high-quality, sustainable protein that can be utilized as a substitute for fish meal in fish and animal diets. In Norway, Aqua Group designs and manufactures steel cages, plastic cages, workboats, feed systems, feed barges, sensor systems, and fish farming software, and is now the world's most recognized brand of aquaculture technology. Aqua Optima supplies recirculation systems and delivers complete offshore hatcheries and grow-out farms for freshwater and marine species, cold and warm water species. The majority of its business now is done to clients outside of Norway, with many projects in developing countries. Norwegian Lobster Farm has developed a process to farm the European lobster in a research system, making it possible to farm these and related crustaceans closer to major consumer markets. Aquagen is a selective breeding company which develops, produces, and delivers genetic material to the global aquaculture industry, and is a leading provider of fertilized eggs of Atlantic salmon, rainbow trout, and is using its technology for a number of other species that are being developed in aquaculture elsewhere. Trace Tracker is a leading provider of a global traceability solution, and this is using what they call their global traceability network. This is a web-based application. And for anyone that's aware of the challenges with seafood import and export, traceability is quickly becoming a business requirement. I have a bunch of things on science and technology, but I guess I'm not going to get there.
Someone can ask you a question about it.
Okay. A lot of this is, I'll just run through the slides. I was going to talk about various people and places that are doing a technology transfer, and these represent what also exists in the world today. The fact is we're going to have to come up with 170%, 70% more than we produce today to feed these people. And technology and transfer is going to be a major part of it. I'd like to just finish. The Dalai Lama spoke last week, and he was also here in Montreal. We really need to embrace the concept of the whole world as we. I think that's an important message, because we're really going to need to do this and think like this if we're going to accomplish some of the challenges we have ahead of us. And just by way of thank you, I wanted to thank Chandra for inviting me to speak here. I wanted to thank Mark Curtis for introducing me to aquaculture about 25 years ago. I'd like to thank my multimedia team, which is based in Bergen, Norway, for putting the slideshow together. And I'd like to thank Pedro Bueno, a former director of NACA, for supplying the slides from the aquaculture in Southeast Asia. Thank you.